Hello, and welcome to Natural Geekery. This is a podcast that focuses on role-playing games, creativity, storytelling, and the flow that can happen when friends or strangers sit down with some dice, some rules, and decide to tell a story. We currently feature an actual play called Wildest Plus, where there is no GM, only two old friends using a few rules and creating a fantasy world and a story from random die rolls. My name is Brian. Welcome aboard. Okay, everyone, welcome back to another episode of Wildest Plus, our fun little No Game Master experiment that I am conducting with the ever-effervescent and energetic Dr. Hip. Hey, Scott, how are you? It's a thing now. It's a thing now.
Never know what I'm going to do next.
I know, right? I'll introduce you in different ways, and then you can just riff off of that. So we're back. We made it to the barbarian encampment with our characters.
Yes.
So for those of you that are just joining us, this is a game masterless role-playing game where we use a game system called Mythic, which is mainly a solo role-playing engine that gives us output that we have to improv on and play with as we take our characters through, and we're using Fate Accelerated for the character system. And this is a fantasy world, and we're doing world building as we go, and we'll talk about a recap later. But that's what we do here, and if you want to know more, go back and listen to our previous episodes. I think we do a pretty good job of explaining it back at the beginning. Did I cover everything? I think I covered everything.
Yes.
So, at this point, I think before we get started, we've already talked about this off mic, but we've got some bookkeeping to do. Mm-hmm. I was going back and editing other episodes, and we got a little ahead of ourselves, made some changes that very astute listeners may pick up on, so we want to address those. So in the last episode, we discussed that the cave bear might have been sent by the Twisted Fae, and we had sort of forgotten that we had already had an assassin. I can't remember the adjectives, but it was like delightfully graceful or something like that, or dangerously graceful. And that isn't a cave bear. So at this point, the dire cave bear was not sent by the Twisted Fae after our heroes in order to cause trouble. But that doesn't mean that the assassin or the agent from the Twisted Fae is forgotten about. We'll touch on that probably in other episodes down the line. We have no idea where or when Mythic will throw that at us, but we'll see. Actually, we might want to add that to the plot lines. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So we got that going for us, which is nice.
Fantastic. So that's one bit of bookkeeping. The other bit of bookkeeping is that we made a bit of a boo-boo in the last episode, in that we saved a bunch of barbarian survivors that actually a few episodes prior we had decided were dead. Just a small little, you know, goof on our part. We had forgotten that we had made a fate roll or a mythic roll to see if there had been any survivors, and Mythic had definitely told us no, there were no survivors, and then we came along later and we somehow saved them all.
It's the power of Sidara.
It is the power, the great power of Sidara, indeed. So I don't think we're going to, we're not going to backtrack and say that those survivors are dead. Because if we say those survivors are dead, then that's going to kind of undo pretty much a big chunk of last episode. So I don't think that's a good call on our part.
It's just like a Monty Python moment. I'm not quite dead yet.
I'm not quite dead. I'm getting better.
Yeah, see? That's what happened.
That's what happened. We'll just say that. Wave the flag and it's all good. So, and it also just makes better story, I think, to have the survivors and where we got to in the barbarian encampment. So that's the two bookkeeping issues that I wanted to cover.
Nice.
The other thing that we want to talk about real quick before we jump into this is this episode, we're going to talk about our milestones. Let's do that now. So we decided that since we got to the barbarian encampment, we gave the Claw of Skokul to Garatha. The barbarians now have it in their possession. This is now in what is called in the Fate role-playing game a significant milestone. So we can change things about our character. We can modify aspects a little bit. And so do you want to talk about that real quick?
Yes. For Hazo, I'm going to take my zero approach. You also get a +1 to an approach of your choosing. And right. My 0-1 was my strength. So I'm going to make that now plus one. Okay. And then I'm going to change the third aspect that I had, which was Traps Guru, to right. something that's a little broader, and maybe we'll catch as a double-edged aspect and call it Fixer of Problems. And nice. We'll just see what happens.
Yeah, I think I like that. I like that shift a lot. So cool. Luden, I'm going to take a plus one in his dex because his dex was zero. And, you know, I think he learned when he got run off the road by the dragon hunters or the relic hunters or whoever those guys were that ran him off the road and he missed his dex roll. I think he learned there that he maybe needs to be a bit better. And just through the course of this adventure so far, I went ahead and gave him a plus one in that. That was my zero stat as well. So I thought it was a good idea. And then I'm not going to change his stunts at all. I'm not going to really move anything around. One of the other things that came up for Luden, though, was that I had left an aspect blank because one of the aspects of Fate role-playing game is that you can leave aspects blank and then fill them in as the game goes along, and it just hadn't come up. So I'm going to take this opportunity in the significant milestone moment to fill in my third aspect slot. So you have the high concept, the trouble, and the three aspects. And so my third aspect spot is going to be Reads the Room. So I think, I like that. I think he can, that'll help him a lot with his social stuff that he already has going with Sidara. So
he does that all the time anyway.
Right, exactly. So we might as well make it an aspect. So I thought that was a good call. That can also be, I can see where that could be double-edged because it could also mean that he gets too wrapped up in reading the room, or he just sees too much information, or he just gets, you know, or
you
possibly
the forest for the trees kind of thing.
Yes, yes, exactly. So I think that's a good way to go. So that's our significant milestone. The characters are changed slightly, and we will get those updated on the Trello board after this episode airs. And I think, one more super important thing. We want to thank the artist we worked with. Last episode, we debuted for International Podcast Day and for our, I believe it was our 10th episode in Wildest Plus, we debuted our new logo, which you have probably already seen if you're listening to this podcast, but we wanted to give a huge shout out again to Tatiana, and I'm going to put her info and links where you can find her. She does commissions and she's amazing to work with. So just wanted to give her another shout out and a huge thank you for that awesome logo. I think we nailed it.
Virtual hugs.
Yes.
Love the logo.
Yeah. Love it. I love it. So thank you, Tatiana, for that. And there's more artist fun in the pipeline. So we'll have other things to announce down the road here soon. Okay. I think we've caught up on all our bookkeeping. Let's jump into a recap. And let's get started. So previously on Wildest Plus, Luden and Hazo, two members of the Drachenfeld Surveyors Guild, were tasked with looking into an issue with a local barbarian tribe. They were also asked to deliver a gift, the Claw of Skokul, a claw of the black dragon Skokul who has recently reappeared after disappearing for hundreds of years. After saving several barbarian tribesmen from a dire cave bear attack, the duo arrive at the village just before a reunion is about to begin with another tribe. They are able to deliver the claw to the shaman Grotha, who is able to detect the scrying energies on it from the creators of the Twisted Fae. As Grotha begins to discuss the barbarian prophecy regarding the return of Skokul and reunification of the tribes, the chieftain of the tribe appears. And let's get going. This is us. So I think for sure we're going to start a new scene because I think with his entrance, it changes the energy enough that we can change the scene. I think the chaos factor can stay right where it's at. I think it's at 5. We can kind of talk about what happens and set the scene.
I think lowered it to 4.
Did we? Okay, cool. Let's do that then.
It's at 4.
Yeah. All right. It's at 4. Good deal. See how much I know?
That's why we work together, a team.
I would have forgotten so much if I was trying to do this solo. Okay, so definitely a new scene. We did take some time off mic to roll up the barbarian chieftain and sort of talk him out. And so we did that just a little bit before we started this episode. So as in order to not waste everybody's time And shall I go ahead and go with that?
Yes.
Okay. So our barbarian chieftain, as he enters the tent, and we'll do this, and then we'll set the scene and roll chaos and all that. As he enters the tent, it is obvious that the chieftain is a half-elf. He is quite buff, and he has tattoos over his arms and his chest and on his face of briars and flowers, thorns, very natural inked up look with very aggressive thorns. Maybe some of the thorns have blood on them. His hair is, he's kind of like got a floppy mohawk kind of thing going on, but the rest of his head is shaved. And he has tattoos, of course, that go up his skull with the thorns and the flowers on them. And he has somewhat pointed half ears. Somewhat pointed ears for a half-elf. Wow, that was complicated. And we have given him a name. His name is Chieftain Leorin Briarspear. So that paints us an image of the fair barbarian that lifts the flap of the tent and comes in suddenly and greets the party. So, scene-wise, I think this is a scene, it's sort of, in a way, it's kind of an interrupt of the previous scene, and it resets the scene a little bit because it's resetting the energy. So let's say he enters and the characters will have a chance to talk with him a little bit and maybe get a little bit more of the prophecy or get an understanding of what's going to happen next as we introduce this chieftain to the mix. Do you have anything to jump on that?
No, I think we were kind of at a wrap up with Grotha anyway.
She was interrupted. Remember, she was just about to tell us. But yeah,
she had talked with Hazo a little bit about his dark mood and that there was possibly something they could come back to. Right. And she was being kind of cagey, right? As I remember.
She was being,
dodgy about what she was telling us on.
Right. Right.
And then that's right. She was cut short. She just stopped mid-sentence when the chieftain came in.
Right. And the chieftain entered. I believe that was your idea. Good job.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. And this can just be a scene where we interact with the chieftain, maybe learn more, try to figure out some things on a character level and go from there. So I think the chaos factor is at 4. Do you want to roll the chaos factor? Do you want me to?
You do it this time. I think I did it last time.
Okay. So on this, if we roll a 4 or under, then the scene will shift. And I got a 3, of course. So it's odd and below the chaos factor. So it simply alters the scene. We roll a quick detail check and determine how that alters the scene a little bit. So we roll D10s for the detail check. And I'll roll 1, you roll 1. The chaos factor doesn't modify it at all because it's only a 4, so thank goodness for that. And I got a 1. That's not good.
4.
Roll. Oh, no. Okay, so that is sadness. Okay.
Maybe it's sadness over the... Well, there was one person that died from the... From the cave bear, right?
That's exactly what I was thinking too. And that maybe, let's ask Mythic, was that person related to the chieftain?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, great minds think alike. Okay, so I'll roll 1, you roll 1. Let's say, let's go with likely. Let's give this a +2.
Yes.
I got a 6.
10.
10, definitely. Those are even, so let's roll to see if even more crazy things happen. They do not, so... that's a 16. That is a definite yes. So we'll just say that it was a child, maybe. Do I say it's a child or a relation? We don't really need to know details, I don't think. He was in the chieftain's family.
Yeah. Not a son, but maybe a nephew.
Maybe a son-in-law or nephew. Yeah. Oh, I like nephew. Let's go with nephew. Okay, so he is... Actually, that's going to change the tone a little bit as... He comes in, and that's what's going to be altering the scene, is that he is quite sad about the fact that he has lost his beloved nephew. Luckily, he can't take that out on us, so that's good.
Yes.
I mean, we tried, but there's only so much you can do. So he comes in. He's sad because he's lost his nephew. So we know that as he comes in. And is there any other sort of game master or scene setting we need to do in order to move forward on that?
No, I think it just adds maybe a somber mood to.
Yeah. Yeah, so he'll come in and be, maybe have a, he'll be sad. Like, he'll have a sorrowful aspect to him. He doesn't maybe barge in as abruptly as we thought. Maybe he kind of comes in slowly with his head down. Maybe he has tears on his face and enters the room. And that does, that'll change the scene even more. So I like that alter quite a bit. Cool. Is there anything else we need to add to the scene? I think we can go to player character actions and just sort of roll through this scene and see what happens.
I think that's good.
All right, so if we're going to go with player actions, do we just sort of, it seems odd for us to just jump in and start asking questions. Maybe we're introduced to the chieftain, or the chieftain wants to know who it is, or maybe he walks over and he just sits on a chair. I see this chair covered in furs, and it's not like the throne chair, because this is Grotha's tent, but he just sits down and probably sighs heavily, maybe says something to Grotha, and Grotha introduces us.
Okay,
that works. And then I'm going to have Luden, at that point, after introductions are made, ask about why he seems sad. Is there anything Hazo wants to do?
No, I think just a respectful nod of greeting.
Cool. Luden is going to ask, why is the chieftain sad? Like, is there something else we can do, or what great trouble has befallen you, chieftain, Briarspear? And does he tell us? Do you think he tells us? Do we roll?
Yeah, I think he would tell us.
Okay. I think he would too. So let's not worry about a roll. So he tells us that he's lost his nephew, but I think it might be better. Like, he tells us and then just sort of brushes it off and wants to know why we're there or what's going on. Does Grotha tell him about the Claw of Skokul? That's an important question.
That's extremely likely, because that's a very powerful gift.
So I would agree with that.
When you see someone that's sad, you're trying to give them something
to
look forward to. Like, hey, this happened. I'm really sorry about that. She might even say, my condolences.
But perhaps, chieftain, we have found a way to lift your spirits, because these two men have brought us quite a gift for the reunification of the tribes. Something along those lines.
Yes.
I think it's very likely. Let's go ahead and roll for it, just in case she wants to be a little bit more secretive and skullduggery. Because you never know. It's mythic. So I got a 5.
5 also.
So 10. That's definitely going to do it. However, we're going to have to roll chaos on this one, because those are identical numbers, because we seem to do that a lot. And I got a 7, so don't have to worry about that. Whew.
Okay.
So she probably would only show it briefly, right? Because she knows it's got the scrying aspects on it, and it's been put in that shaman bag or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So she shows it briefly to Chieftain Briarspear, and then puts it back, and then probably talks a little bit about it. Well, she doesn't know that much about it, but she does know it's the Claw of Skokul. So is there anything else as players we want to do? Or should we just start asking mythic questions? I'm just trying to see the scene in my head, like cinematically, like a movie. And what do you see happening?
Well, I think our player reactions might depend on his reaction to the claw, seeing the claw. Like, is he really excited, or is he...
Oh, that's good. That's good. Let's ask Mythic. Is he grateful and happy to see the claw? And do we make that a likely?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay, so I'll roll... I got a 4.
9.
No, that's definitely... And they're not...
13.
One's odd, one's even. So and 13. So that's a yes. So he's grateful and happy. That's good. What else? I think we're at the point where we can't really do player actions. We kind of just need to ask mythic questions to play the scene out.
Yes.
Part of the scene anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if he was another way, then we might be rethinking our whole position. But that puts us in a favorable light.
Yeah. So is he grateful to us? Does he thank us for saving the other members of the tribe and bringing the claw and doing these things that we've done? I think so. I don't think we need to roll on that one.
Right.
He's just, again, he's just carrying sadness because of the death of his nephew. Does he ask us for what we want in return, or why we've come in the first place? I think that's probably incredibly likely.
Exactly.
Like, I see him, you're here. Why did you? And we appreciate all that you've done, but why are you here? Why did you come here?
Kind of like, I've lived long enough to know.
Yeah.
You don't get anything for free in life.
Yeah, I didn't get to be this position of a chieftain for my good tattoos.
Although it really helps.
It really does. It really does. I'm sure it gives him at least a +4 to woo the ladies. Let's do very likely on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I got a 10.
8.
Oh, so that's those are even, so let's roll chaos really quick. That's fine. We rolled an 8 there, so.
No,
but that's an 18. So he's very grateful. He's very happy.
And he the question was, does he ask us what we wanted?
Yeah, right. And I think that's exactly right. He does ask. And how do we reply? We talked about this earlier before we went on mic, but are you just deferring to Luden now?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing is I'm looking to Luden to answer. Hazo's just kind of standing there, arms crossed, like, mouthpiece of Sidara, please speak.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're pulling out the Sidara action on that one. No, okay, cool.
But I always put my foot in my mouth.
Yeah. So. Well, the dice help you with that. You haven't had the best dice as of late on that one.
I need an aspect that says choose vigorously.
Choose
on own foot.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a fun trouble to have, right? Like, puts foot in mouth.
Yeah. Maybe
the foot and mouth disease.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
So many opportunities.
Let's just move on. So Luden will nod his head a bit and say, Chieftain Briarspear, we come to you from the city, from the Drakenveld Surveyors Guild. This is why we have brought this gift to you. And we have come to inquire not only about the arrival of the Black Dragon, but also there are ruins nearby that we believe some barbarians once inhabited, and we are trying to find them, and we were hoping that perhaps you know more. So we have two questions, really. What are the tribe's plans for the prophecy involving Skokul? And he'll let that hang heavy for a minute, and then he'll say, and do you know of these ruins? For there are members of the Drakenveld Surveyors Guild, two of which are before you, would like to investigate those ruins as they are newly found, newly come to light. And what do you think his reaction is?
Well, I think he's going to just let that absorb in. I think his question is going to be, why do you want to see the ruins? Because he'll be a little skeptical he wants to know that we're not, I don't know, in league with the enemy, maybe.
Right.
Because we don't know that there have been Dark Fae there and they got pushed out. We just know barbarians were at the ruins. We don't even know who exactly, right?
Right, right.
As player characters. And then, well, that says the whole thing. It's like, if he's going to tell us his plans, he's got to trust us. So
right, right.
So that might be a question, is how much does he trust us?
Yes, how much does he trust us? So let's just ask, does he trust us? And then maybe roll a percentage or roll a range of something. So yeah, let's roll that. Let's just ask, does he trust us? Let's just give it a 50-50 and see what happens. I got a 3.
10.
Oh, way to save us.
Had to do it.
That was close. Okay, so yes, he does trust us. How much does he trust us? Because, you know, we... let's see. What do we roll? Do we roll a D10? We have D10 handy. I don't really want to do percentage because that can be just too big of a scale. So 10 is good, 1 is bad. Like, he trusts us a little, and 10 is like, he's like, okay, whatever. You didn't save my nephew, but you're my best friend now, right? Like, you want to roll that scale?
Yeah, we could. And I was going to say, if there are any modifiers, the modifiers that I see in my mind are, one, we came out in the wilderness, first of all, which is a risk. You know, we did help rescue the barbarians.
Right.
Ratha has seen that emissary, like seen that people were coming, were kind of sent to a certain way. That doesn't mean he really trusts us, but he kind of knows this is part of a larger plan.
Oh, I like this. I think that should be a good question to ask Mythic. Does he see us as pieces of a larger plan being put in play? What do you think? Do you like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and if the answer is yes, like then we could add a plus to the amount, the level of trust.
To the trust. I like that a lot. Okay, so does he see our two characters as pieces of a larger plan? I got a 9.
8.
Okay, so that is a definite yes. And so he basically sees us as pieces of a larger plan. That's cool. I like that. So let's roll to see how much he trusts us and give it a plus 2. Do you want to roll this one?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I see how it is. Oh, no. I seem like at least once an episode, I get really excited and I roll my die off my table. It seems to happen. I guess I need a bigger table. Okay. Ooh, so a 4 with plus 2. Thankfully, we got the plus 2 on there, so that's a 6. So more than average. I think that's right in line with what I was thinking anyway, so I kind of like it. That's cool. Now, backpedaling just a bit. We know as players, because we did the bonus episode for Patreon on the barbarians, that the barbarians, this barbarian tribe actually lived in those ruins and were kicked out by members of the Dark Fae, not the Twisted Fae, but the Dark Fae, who were looking for something. And so that means, I think he would basically tell us, looks at us for a moment and says, yes, we were the tribe that used to be there. And we were there for a while until someone from the outside came and stole some small pieces from us and took them back to the city. And that, as an aside, is a nod to our previous game that we ran as a test for this, because we had a monk, I think it was a human monk named Braxton, who had raided some ruins, and so we're throwing him into this mix. So the chieftain mentions that and says, but he was able to get back to the city safely, and I would hope that you two are not of the same ilk as that one.
Absolutely not.
No.
He was a rogue.
No. Yeah, Luden would say he did not. He was not a member of our group, the Surveyors Guild. And the chieftain would continue and say, but we did live in those ruins until we were set upon by very militarized group of Dark Fae who... We tried to fight, but they drove us out because they said they were looking for something. We only discovered that after we captured a few of their scouts and got the information from them, if you understand. And we know exactly where they are. And here's the big question. Is this the point where he asks us to help out or to go there to see if the Dark Fae are still there? Like, does he use us as part of the pieces of the puzzle, right? Does he use us and ask us to do this?
I think it's likely.
I think so too. I think we had talked about this maybe coming this way, and I think it's definitely the road's curving that way anyway. So let's roll. This is a big roll. Likely. That's going to be a plus 2. Do we want to give it a plus 4?
Yes.
Okay, plus 4. I got a 6.
Also a 6.
Uh-oh. No. What is up with this? Ah, double numbers all the time. Okay, so
That's an exceptional yes.
That is an exceptional yes, but we have to
roll. Do we have to roll chaos?
Yes, we do. Here we go.
So it might not actually be an exceptional yes.
Well, it's exceptional yes. Well, that's right. It may not be unless we get... Oh, I got a 4. So it is an exceptional yes, and a random event occurs. So...
Here's my idea on the random event.
Okay, bring it.
Well, just like a flash scene that doesn't necessarily involve us, where like you see the chieftain sees a little bit of the attack from the Fae.
Oh, okay.
It's like a
okay.
cut scene where it's like he just described them and you can see this clash of battle. Ching, ching, ching. In cinematically, it would be take the viewer to that moment.
Yes, as he's talking about it.
Yes.
Oh, I like that. Okay. I do like that.
Scary.
Do we want to? It's not scary. It's cool. Do we want to say that? Do we want to ask Mythic if that's the random event, or do we just want to roll with it? I think I'm kind of privy to just rolling with it.
Yeah.
I do too. Fine. I like that.
Well, and that lets the audience see what those. Wait, is dark?
Oh, what the dark Fae look like.
Yes.
Not the or the Shadow Fae.
This is the elite guard of the Shadow Fae, correct?
And just to catch everyone up, if you want to know more information, you can check out the Patreon episode by becoming a subscriber. But the Dark Fae have two branches in them. One is the Shadow Fae, and one is the Twisted Fae. And the Dark Fae tend to be more like your Unseelie types. Tend to like manipulation and fear and doing things in a darker way. The Twisted Fae are offshoots of them and are not pleasant things to be around, and in fact like to feed off of fear, which is a taboo amongst the Shadow Fae. So that's the skinny on that. For more information on that, you can check out that episode. So that catches everybody up anyway. So the Dark Fae, so the Shadow Fae mm-hmm. have come into the ruins, and he is, after his story, and the scene cuts from the battle that they went through, and I kind of see it being like a run and gun kind of dealing with the Dark Fae. What do the Dark Fae look like? We've not talked about that too much. If we're going to have that scene play out cinematically, and the audience gets their first look at what the Shadow Fae look like. What do they look like? And these are the Royal Guard, right? Like, this is a special forces unit that was sent in to look for something. What, we don't really know. But it was involved with trying to stop the Twisted Fae, who were trying to summon Skokal, I believe, is what we agreed on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would assume they probably have really nice quality weapons and armor.
Yeah, like really nice armor, really like ornamented
mm-hmm.
in, I don't know in what.
Maybe even magically enhanced or protected.
Okay, yeah, like can they, maybe they move really fast mm-hmm. or we'll have to ask Mythic some of these questions
like
later.
Like they can bamf, you know, like.
Oh, teleporting? Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's terrifying.
Like blink, you know, like 10 or 20 feet and. Ding. They
in
just,
shadows. Oh, yes. They can only blink in shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Let's ask Mythic if that's what. This just to stay in the confines of the rules, because I guess I maybe have somewhere lawful in my alignment. I don't know. I doubt that highly though. Is that the way it works? I got a 7.
6.
Okay, cool.
That's I have chaotic 11. In my alignment.
Yeah, I know. I never would have guessed. Okay, so that's really cool. Like they can blink in shadows, right? And in where there's no direct light, they mm-hmm. can bamf around. Ooh, that's really terrifying. Why did we even come up with that? That's going to be so hard to deal with. Okay, all right. So he asks, basically. He just says, he comes right out and tells us about the location of the ruins after he describes that battle and says that he would like for us, if we are willing, to go with him, or maybe not go with him, but he would like for us to scout out that area. If we mm-hmm. would be, if we want to see those ruins, then would we do him the favor of checking out those ruins for him? What do you think?
I think that sounds fantastic.
Okay, so he definitely does that. Luden would agree to that. He would have no problem.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly fits into what Hazo wants to do.
He wants Hazo's to probably
got those ruins, yeah.
Right? Hazo's probably drooling a little bit, like bouncing on his heels, like bouncing on the balls of his feet. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you indicating or insinuating that he drools as a character?
I know. No. I would never insinuate that.
I think
not at all.
It's likely.
Yeah, a likely two. Hazo. Plus two. Roll for it. Does Hazo drool on himself? I love it. Okay, so here's another question. Is he going to send barbarians with us? Or maybe send, who was the other barbarian we saved? Rarsta?
I don't have it.
Like, does he send one or two other barbarians with us to show us the location and to kind of be our guide?
Yeah, I think that's likely. One, we don't know where it is. And yeah, two, keep an eye on us. Three, these elite guard, if they're still there.
Oh, yeah, that could be.
Are going to be rough. So
yeah, I agree. Okay, so let's give it a likely. So that's going to give it a plus two. And I rolled off my table again, so I rolled the second one. Six.
Seven.
Look at us. Mm-hmm. Look at us go. Six and seven are odd and even, so we don't have to roll chaos. Wow.
Do you want to roll?
We're steaming right along.
A six-sided die and see how many barbarians he sends?
Ooh, six is a lot. And I just want to. Let's roll the D. Yes, and you know what? Contrary to the past few episodes where I have not had my D4, I am a good gamer, and I have my D4 here today.
Well, you better use it.
I better use it. I can't find it. Oh, there it is. Okay.
This is how many barbarians are coming with us to the woods.
Okay. Yep. One.
Rarsta it is.
Rarsta it is. So he's going to have Rarsta, who we saved from the dire cave bear, the half-orc female barbarian fighter type. So I guess we're going to have to make up a character sheet for her.
She's a half-orc, right?
Yeah.
We didn't know. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So... cool. So he says he will assign a guide to us. We don't know who that guide is yet. And then I think the scene's almost over, unless we can ask Mythic, is there anything else he wants to do? We also wanted to ask if there is some sort of celebration with the two tribes coming together. Like, he's gone out, like if you put it in his shoes, like he's gone out, he's reached out to the other tribe and has brought them back. And what tribe did we say that was? I'm sorry.
The Dragon Tribe. Dragon Clan.
That's right. How could I forget that? So that he reached out to the Dragon Clan as part of the Sabretooth Tiger Clan and brought them together as sort of the first two tribes to reunify after the vision and the sight of Skokul flying overhead. And is there going to be a party this evening? Is there going to be a celebration or a gathering of the two tribes? I think that's just a straight-up roll.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say 50-50? Or do we want to maybe add a likely, because it's probably...
I think it's
something's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Like, these two tribes don't... unless they don't trust each other.
I don't think they would have come if there wasn't some level of trust and building of an alliance, so...
And it's not the whole tribe, right? Like, it's just a group from the other tribe. So, I could see... let's just roll and see, but I could see the Sabretooth Tiger Tribe and... Briar Spear wanting to put on a show, basically. So let's make that likely. And I got an 8.
4.
Okay, so those are two even. So that's going to be a 12, a 14. So that's a yes. And I rolled another 4 for chaos. So those are two evens.
Means a random event?
Yeah, a random event. So let's roll the random event real quick.
I had another idea, but we can roll for whatever we want.
Let's roll and hang on to that idea, and then we'll see what happens.
Okay. We roll on the. Are we doing detail tech check or what are we?
We do the adventure focus table.
Oh,
first.
That's right. You wanted me to roll it.
Yeah, go for it. I hear dice clacking.
39.
39. It's an NPC action, and then we roll the two, I believe, descriptor tables.
And we have to figure out which NPC, huh?
Yeah, we'll have to roll that as well. Yeah, let's roll in the descriptor table, and then we'll roll and see what NPC this is. I got mine. I'll roll one, you roll one, like normal. 96. Holy moly.
19.
Ooh, I got warlike.
Delightful. What?
Oh, no, I got, what did I get?
What are
I
you
got,
on one or two? You're rolling.
I rolled the first one, so threateningly. Sorry, I got excited. Threateningly, and then you rolled a 19. Which is delightful. So threateningly delightful. So maybe What? So let's roll the NPC. Oh, this could go south real quick. Oh, dear me. Okay.
Depending on who it is and what that means.
So yeah, we need to figure out the NPC. We have so many. We have like 15 NPCs at this point, including everybody that we've run into along the way or who is taking part in this story. So I guess for the NPC action, let's just do a D20.
Okay. And
if it's over 15, then I think we're just going to have to roll again.
Okay. What? Okay, go ahead.
It's me? Okay. A 3. Oh, boy. That's going to be one of the early ones. 1, 2, 3. It's Grotha. Okay, so.
And what were the terms? What were the words?
It was an idea.
Delightful, but I can't remember what the first word was.
It was threateningly. 96. Threateningly delightful.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, I've got an idea. An NPC action that is threateningly delightful. So Grotha is going to do something that is threateningly delightful. What if she invites us to partake in a ceremony that is perhaps like a vision ceremony or like, right? Like, does she offer us to take part in, as agents of the barbarians now, going back to the ruins? Like, maybe we can't go back to those. They won't, like, maybe we can't go back into those ruins unless we are, have been indoctrinated in some way.
Yeah, or like a protection ceremony or something, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I see her, like, suggesting, because I don't know, she keeps coming across in the die rolls as being kind of coy and cagey. That's the word that comes up. Like, I can see her very cagily suggesting that, well, perhaps our two guests would like to take part in the rite of the cat's cave or something like the panther cave or something like that, right? Like, that is where you ingest something and have hallucinations and or some sort of spiritual vision.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's, and it's delightful, and in that it's probably a good time. It's probably a pretty good high, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And you have a good time, but it's also like there's a chance that you could be changed forever.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Do we need to roll for this or just let
no,
it happen?
That's just going to happen. That's perfect.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. I like it. Let's do it.
And is that going to happen like tonight too, I assume?
Yeah, that'll be as part of, it'll be a perfect way to celebrate.
Well,
okay, go ahead.
I was writing notes. I was thinking, my thought from all that before was that it might start off kind of somber with like a funeral pyre for the nephew.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
that.
Then
yes.
Go into more of a celebration of life,
yes,
festivity, and then go into this rite for us. Would all be roll into that.
Oh, I love it. Yes, let's do that. That's perfect.
Oh, man. This is going to be outrageous. We're going to have to get, who knows, painted up or something.
Who knows what's going to happen, right? It's a bunch of questions. So I see the next. Okay, so does this scene wrap up? Is there anything else? Let's ask Mythic. Is there anything else the chieftain or Grotha? Let's ask the chieftain. The chieftain.
So we're just. Anything else that, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. We're both really excited. That's why I love this game. Is there anything else the chieftain wants to do with us? Is there anything else the chieftain adds? Just a quick Mythic roll just to see if there's anything else the Mythic GM would like to throw at us. I think it should just be a 50-50.
Okay.
Okay, and then what's your idea before we roll? What was your idea?
Just went clear across the room. I can't. They're out of control. No, I guess I was just saying we're saying that's happening, which we're on this. We've been given this mission to go scout the ruins by the chieftain, and now we're also being asked to participate in this rite.
Yes.
And I was just going to say, I think we're just saying that happened. And there's no need to ask Mythic about it. It's just going to happen that way.
Well, and let's pause real quick before we ask whether or not the Mythic GM is done with this scene. Let's go to player character. Let's go to the character actions. How does Hazo respond to that? Does he want to be a part of this rite, given everything that he's dealing with?
I would say, well, it's not necessarily involving this Claw of Skokul that I know of. But I think he's lore hound. Anything he can learn about the barbarian tribes fits into this. So it's like, if this means I'm part of the barbarian tribe now, that's just cool. Now I understand. Right. It's like we get to see a secret rite. Yes. Sign me up.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Is there risk in drinking involved? Sign me up twice.
Okay. All right. I like it. Luden, would Luden, does Hazo just ask? Does Hazo ask her, is the Claw of Skokal involved in this?
Yeah, I think he would, because
I think he would too.
He would be a little leery about that.
And let's just ask, will the Claw of Skokal be involved in this special rite? I'm going to say that is probably a very much not likely.
Yeah. Because they've never had it before.
So let's just make it like a -4? No, -6. No way. It doesn't make sense. But let's ask anyway. So I got a 6.
3.
Okay. So a 6 and a 3. Don't have to worry about chaos. 9. Yeah. So definitely not, she would reply. Definitely not. Why would we do such a thing? But I understand why you would want to know. So, go ahead.
Yes, I'm willing to participate in this ceremony.
Very good. And you, Luden of Sadara, and Luden, because I've got like this is an interesting decision for him because he's a paladin of Sadara. Can he participate in a rite like this? Right? Like, this is a character moment.
Yeah, he kind of, maybe he needs to know more about it.
Yeah. Maybe he needs to consult with Sadara first.
Well, and it's probably, as long as it doesn't involve him renouncing his faith or something.
Right.
It's maybe not so dangerous. But.
Right. So he would say to Gratha, one must understand that I walk the path of Sadara and that comes first in all that I do. And I am interested in such a rite, but I must ask in advance if this would in any way, or as part of the rite, ask for me to renounce those vows in the middle of the rite. And you need to tell me true on this, dear Gratha. And so let's ask Mythic. It doesn't seem like it might, but let's make it a negative. It's not likely. Let's make it a -2. Does the rite involve him, like, interfering with his, as far as Gratha can tell? I got a 9. Oh, dear.
1.
Okay, so 10. -2. Okay. Whew. So that's a no.
They're both odds, so do you need to roll?
Yeah, we do. I rolled a 5, so we're okay.
Okay, good.
At least this time. Okay, so she would respond that no, it would not. You're just becoming an affiliate of the tribe. You're becoming someone that we would trust. Is trust the right word? Someone that is known to us, and that is all. But it will possibly allow you to know more about yourself and possibly your connection to Sadara. Ooh, okay, I like that. That just sort of came out. Cool.
Excellent.
And then Luden would then, does he agree? Let me think. Player moment. Tough call.
Do you need to make some kind of a fate roll?
No, I just need to make a decision as a player. It's one of those moments when you're sitting around the table and the DM's like, do you do this or not? And you just have to say yes or no. And think about the character and how it works. And if your character would say yes to that. Hazo's was easy. Hazo's like, well, yeah, sign me up. Drinking and danger?
Yeah.
I'm done. Luden would... Because I want to, as a player, this is an important point to talk about. As a player, I want to have the character take part in this. But would the character themselves agree to undergo a rite by a barbarian tribe when they are themselves sort of spiritual in their own way? Does Hazo encourage him? That would be funny.
Here's what Hazo's going to do.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Luden is thinking about it. He's like, well, you can tell he's struggling.
His friend Luden, I think you should take a moment and meditate upon this.
Yes. I think that is the correct choice, of course. Thank you, Hazo. Gratha, I will, if you don't mind, before I agree, I will take a few moments to discuss this with Sodara. I'm sure you, of all people here, would understand that. And then I'll have an answer for you before the event begins. And Gratha would probably say, okay, let's just say she would agree with that. She's a shaman. She understands spiritual connections. And so, okay, so we'll have to do that here soon. Okay, now we roll. Is there anything else in the scene? Does the chieftain have anything else for us? Do you just want to make it 50-50?
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay. I got a 3.
1.
Ooh, both odd. So that's definitely a no. But I rolled a 9. So, okay, so no. We are pretty much, that's a wrap for the scene. The chieftain will stand and thank us again for coming, invite us to all of the events that are about to take place as the two tribes come together, and the mourning of his nephew, followed by a celebration of fire and dancing and drinking, and, as it would appear, the rite of the Cave of the Panther, or whatever we're calling it, whatever. What are we calling it? And I will see you in the evening, and then in the morning we will, depending on the festivities, I will assign you your guide and you can set off for the ruins.
Excellent.
Yes, very good. Thank you. I appreciate the hospitality and honor of the Sabertooth Tiger Clan, says Luden. Okay, that's the end of the scene. Cool. Cool, 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 cool. I think the next scene needs to be Luden. Real quick, before we wrap up this episode, I think we need to have Luden go do his meditation thing.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't think I even want to roll it as a scene. I'll just roll it and see what was your thought on that?
Yeah, that was it. I see that. Okay. I was going to say you could even just say we're going to have a little bit of camera interaction moment. You know, we have a couple of hours in the afternoon before anything starts. What do we do? Right. I don't know if that's a separate scene or just like a cut.
Well, it's probably afternoon. I mean, I think I was seeing it kind of like late afternoon, mm-hmm. early evening anyway. So I imagine he just goes off to the side and takes a knee. We gotta play with the sunset, right? As mm-hmm. the sun is setting on the arid landscape of the area around Draken Falls. And he finds a quiet place by a rock and takes a knee and decides to meditate to see if he should be taking part of this rite. What do I roll for that?
Wisdom?
Okay. We can do a wisdom roll, get a fate roll in here.
Well, like you say, it's more of a decision about your character. Or if you want to,
I'm wondering, like, is it a matter of, does Sodara like offer him any insight? That's what I would ask. As a GM, I would go to the GM and be like, I'm going to take a knee. And do I get any sense or feeling that I should take part in this ritual? So let's just ask Mythic, because Mythic is our GM.
Yeah, I think that's the smart way to go.
Yeah. Does Sodara offer any insight about the ritual?
Actually, I think it's likely.
Let's ask a more pointed question. Mm-hmm. Does Sodara offer insight as to why he could take part in the ritual?
Okay.
Okay, let's do that. And you say it's probably likely, so that's a +2. And I must be having a good game because my dice are all over the place. I got an 8.
9.
Oof. Okay, well, that's almost an exceptional yes. Ping. So.
Yeah,
like this light comes out or something, and he's just shown that this is perfectly fine, that Sodara will not be offended. He probably gets that feeling, comes over him, just a feeling of calm that some barbarian rite like this cannot ever affect or change the connection that he has to Sodara. Yeah, I like that. Cool. What else you got? You got anything else for me? You got a dire cave bear there? Maybe a rabid boar or
that's what's for dinner.
What's for dinner? Rabid boar. Your favorite in the barbarian encampment. All right, cool.
Yeah.
So just wrap up really quick. This was good. Like, so the next we'll move into the celebrations and the rite. What do we want to call this rite? Do we want to call it rite of the cave, or the panther in the cave, or some sort of shadow? I don't know. I'm blanking.
Well,
on
since
we
there's saber toothed tiger,
right?
I think we can't call it panther. I think, we,
Yeah.
I like the cave that idea.
Rite of the cave panther, or rite of the shadow. Or, I don't know. That's all right. We can come up with that.
Just call it Rite of the Cave.
Yeah, Rite of the Cave. Ooh,
I like that.
Very nice.
That's simple enough.
Yeah, yeah. Threateningly pleasant, or whatever we came up with on that one.
Threateningly delightful.
Threateningly delightful. This could suck, but you'll have a fun time doing it.
Nice.
But I think we got pretty far. I really liked this. And I'm looking forward to the party.
Yes, I am too. That's why I was thinking we might end the scene is a little character interaction.
Yes,
when
please,
Luden comes back from his sunset meditation.
Yes.
Would they give us a little hut or a tent or something, like a yurt? What are they
learning? I don't know. Let's ask him. Let's ask Mythic. Let me get my dice.
I wouldn't say honored guests, but at least respect.
No, I like that. Yeah, let's roll. Do they give us a tent that is our own? We're gonna say that's likely, just because of all the cool things. Because we're so cool,
we are allies of the barbarian.
That's true. That's true. So I got a 6, 7. Okay, so yes. So yeah, they give us our own tent. So Luden would come back into the tent. After his little sojourn out into the edge of the encampment.
And Hazo's sitting there with Tamaska, whittling on a little piece of,
nice.
A little stick there.
Nice.
Around a little fire, making a cup of coffee.
Okay. Luden comes in and nods and will ask if there's any, is there any coffee left, friend?
Absolutely.
I have a feeling I may need some. It seems to be it's going to be a long night.
I was thinking the same thing. So it looks like we're heading out into some uncharted territory here, friend.
Yes. Well, it won't be the first time.
You feeling all right about that?
I am. I'm feeling quite at ease, actually. There's no reason to believe that this barbarian rite would interfere with any of my vows to Sadara, so I'm fine with it, and I'm actually looking forward to it. I've never really done something like this, and besides, we get to take part in a celebration between two barbarian tribes that perhaps hasn't taken place in quite some time.
We're living history right here.
We are, and so... Sadara reminded me to be grateful of all of that.
And excellent.
To bring her to the celebration in the form of the joy and the friendliness that our order is famous for.
Excellent.
And he'll take the cup of coffee. And what about you? Are you you seem to be more than ready for this little adventure?
Well, that's what we do, isn't it? We're part of the Drakenfell Surveyors Guild, so we can learn about new cultures, and this is so much better than reading a book in the guild office. This is, you know, we're living it, we're seeing it.
Well, you say that now. I suppose that might change once we, if we happen to bump into any of those Shadow Fae.
Yeah, that'll look very much fun.
Yeah, but you've had experience with those before, so I have not. I've only read of them. How do you feel about all that and your issues we've had so far?
I feel moderately hopeful after talking to Gratha, because she at least offered some hope that this anger, this you know, dark mood that tends to come over me and cloud my thinking might be something that can be dealt with.
Perhaps this rite is part of that.
Maybe
that's why Perhaps that's why she suggested it in the first place, friend. I just realized that.
Yeah, I didn't think about that before. But we will find out tonight.
Aye, we will. And yes, make sure that the coffee's strong, isn't it? I hope it's strong.
Absolutely.
And you have plenty of that gnomish whiskey still left. I have a feeling we're going to need
I do, friend. Here.
Good.
I'll pass the flask as well.
A little bolster to your fine brew. And to the evening, then.
To the evening, my good their friend.
Perfect. I love it. Huzzah. Okay. Thanks, Dr. Hip. This was great.
Yes, that's exactly the way we should end that.
Yeah, I do. I agree. I'm loving it. I'm loving our little story.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. A little twist.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, some really fun little twists. And, you know, just game mechanic-wise, that chaos die, having to roll that third die, that just changed everything. Like, have you noticed how much smoother things have been?
Mm-hmm.
It really does. It's a mechanic that, holy cow, I can't believe we forgot, but I'm so glad we remembered. And, well,
yeah, you found it, and we just both read it and went,
oh, God. Okay, quick, fix this now.
Yeah, and it's so, definitely helped us stay on track.
Absolutely. All right, until the next one, sir, and I bid you huzzah.
Huzzah, and good roads.
Good roads. And there we have it. The stage is set for a historic meeting of two barbaric tribes, the Sabretooth Tiger Clan and the Dragon Clan, meeting for the first time in many, many years, perhaps hundreds of years. And our two heroes, Hazo and Luden, are stuck in the middle and look to be participants. So I can tell you that next week's episode was a heck of a lot of fun to record, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with you. So I hope you tune in and check it out. It was a blast, and some surprises come up, and it's a very creative episode, and we really had a good time. So it's all I'll say for now, but good stuff. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast, for playing along with us and having fun with us, and I hope you're enjoying our little experiment, which I'm not even sure we can call it an experiment anymore. I think we have hit our running speed, and things are going pretty well, and I'm really, really liking the story we're telling and the world we're building around it. And had a few bumps early on, but I think we are underway for sure. If you have any comments or questions about how we do this or thoughts about the show, you can reach us at naturalgeekery@gmail.com. That's down in the show notes. Also down in the show notes, if you want to go old school, feel free to send us a missive via the post office. We have a post office box now, and you can check that out down in the show notes. And we just love to hear from folks. We want to hear from you, hear your thoughts. And, if you have ideas for the show or ideas for, guests on the show, if you want to be on the show, if you want to be interviewed, let me know. If you know of podcasts that you're enjoying and you would like for me to interview the hosts of those shows, send them to me in an email or through any of the social media contacts that we have based around the show. And I will send an email out. I will extend a hand and see if they want to come on the show for an interview. We are going to be getting into interviews now, probably in November. You'll see the first one. I'll try to do about one a month, if not maybe more, maybe even a bonus episode in there once or twice. Who knows? We're going to see how things fall out or fall down or fall together. Okay, so if you want to support the show, you can always do that by giving us a 5-star rating or a good rating, whatever you feel is in your heart and you want to share with Apple Podcasts, please do so. That helps our podcast immensely. You can share the show with your friends, talk it up to other people. That's another great way to support us. Also, if you want, you can join us over on our Patreon. That is patreon.com/naturalgeekery. And we have a couple tiers of support. We have bonus episodes over there. There's going to be a lot more of that coming up as we get into winter. Look forward to that as well. And yeah, there's tons of ways you can support the show. So we're here. Reach out. Come join our community if you want. And I hope we all continue to have a good time through this. That's about it. If you want to know more about the game that we're using, Mythic or Fate Accelerated, check the show notes. It's all down in there, and it's chock full of information. So don't be shy. And that's it, I think. Thanks so much, everyone. Remember, keep shining. You're needed out here. Your creativity is needed out here. Keep doing what you love. And yeah, I'll see you on the next one. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.